This morning, as we prepare to open God's Word together, I just want to invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 1. To John chapter 1, we're going to be reading from John's kind of interesting account of the birth of Jesus. As we get ready to do that, let's pray. Father God, be with us now as we open your Word. God, speak to us the truth of who you are. Help us to receive that truth and change our hearts and our minds with it. God, we look to you for our strength and all that we need. Speak to us this morning, Lord God. Amen. It's Christmas, which means it's only 325 days until Parsonage Light Display 3.0. Like, Abby and I are already brainstorming. Christmas is one of my favorite times of year. I've said this before. I just love everything about Advent and Christmas and leading up to it. Maybe not everything. I really don't like going out shopping for gifts and being stuck in long lines, right? There are things I don't like, but there's a lot that I do. I love the intense focus on Jesus this time of year. I love getting together with family and friends and just being together in ways that we normally aren't. There's so much good that happens around Christmas and this time of year. Today we gather to celebrate Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, who has come into our world. And as we get ready to celebrate that birth this morning and reflect on that, I want to actually start this morning with a little bit of a video that's been making its way on the internet. It's actually been around for a little bit. It's kind of a cute video, and that's kind of the point, right? But it's a video of adults acting out kind of Luke 2 while the story is being told through the mouths of children. So it's kind of funny, it's kind of cute, but it just, again, brings us into the story maybe in a different way this morning.
An angel came to see Mary. She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, "Mary, you're going to have, Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby and you will call him Jesus." And then Mary was like, "I'm not going to have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager and I'm not married." Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel. She said, "This donkey's fast." They tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
"We have no rooms. Literally, no rooms."
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
"The only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable." And then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, "A new baby is getting born, who is King of the Jews."
The angel was singing,
and then the shepherd said, "I think we should go there and meet him." The second, I think, said, "Yeah, I agree with you." And the other said, "Yeah, me too." They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
We should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one they have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
You know, there's just something about the story of Jesus' birth being told through the mouths of children that is pretty fantastic, actually. And so, to me, this video is in some ways indicative of this time of year, right, where we have, like, great storytelling tools to point to the birth of Jesus. We have these great Christmas programs. There's all kinds of movies on TV that again, help us to focus on all the players in the story, right? We get focused on Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the Magi, and we ponder the baby Jesus a little bit, and all of that is so good. But I think sometimes even as we do some of that, as we ponder kind of the spectacle of Bethlehem and this baby in a stable where no crying he makes, on a silent night when his mother maybe had what we perceive to be the easiest birth in the history of the world, where everyone was cleaned up and ready for the shepherds to show up, where angels perched themselves on the top of a stable with this kind of like longing look while they're rocking the 24K headbands, we get a little bit caught up in this, in the spectacle of the nativity. And we lose sight, maybe even in the midst of this, on the baby who has come into the world. Or maybe we get so focused on the baby that we forget who the baby actually is. And so this morning, I want us to look at John 1 because John, I think, does an amazing job of telling us who the baby is, who this Jesus is, who has come into the world in this weird and strange way through the story that has become so familiar to us. And I want us to hear it from John because John, again, just tells the story so differently because he's trying to make a point. And so John 1, let's start verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John, and he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." There ends the reading of the word for now. So John launches into this very theological and Christological rich passage. And theological just means that he's outlining some of who God is, and he's talking about God. He's also, and Christological is really just a way of saying he's talking about who Jesus is and getting at some very intense specifics. And John doesn't mess around. He says things that would get him in a lot of trouble. Some of what John pronounces in his gospel to the people who will read it are things that would be considered blasphemous and could even get him killed for saying it, because John talks about the Word. The Greek for this is the Logos of God, which is all really kind of code for Jesus. And he says things about Jesus that again, are scandalous. He says that Jesus was in the beginning. He says that Jesus was with God. He says that Jesus was and is and forever will be God. And that he was with God in the beginning. This baby who is born under these strange circumstances is not just some baby who will go on to be some prophet. He is very different than that. This is God, the Son, Jesus, who is wrapped in flesh. Jesus, who has always existed. This is hard to get our minds around sometimes because we think about the birth of Jesus as the starting point of Jesus, but Jesus didn't start here. Jesus has always been. And Jesus in the manger, this is hard to get our minds around too, Jesus in the manger doesn't lay down his deity, doesn't lay down his godness. He is still baby and yet God. That is kind of mind-blowing to think about. That he is both baby and God. John says that Jesus was so present with God in creation that when God spoke, Jesus carried it out. John says that by him all things were made. There's this kind of profound imagery that, again, I believe John is trying to draw our attention to, that John is making it clear that Jesus was not created. Jesus has always been, and just like God the Father, and he's saying that as God does, Jesus does. As God speaks, Jesus acts. They're working together in all things at all times. And this is important because we see this even playing out in the Gospels. And John tells us that Jesus was there present in the making of mankind. To me, this is always one of the most mind-boggling and amazing things that God does because Jesus is present and part of the creative process of Adam and Eve. Jesus is there helping to breathe life into Adam and Eve. He is giving them life knowing that the tempter would come, knowing that Adam and Eve would rebel, knowing that all hell would literally break loose upon the earth. Knowing that by giving Adam and Eve life, it would mean his death. Jesus is present in the beginning. Who would do that kind of thing to give life to something that would cause him death? God, in his love, will do that. God, the one who creates, also saves. And he saves because he loves. Now again, in verse 10, John says that the Word became flesh, right? And so we have Jesus taking on our flesh, our broken humanity. And this again is kind of a scandalous idea because for the Greeks and others in those days, the flesh was rotten and it was not something that was desired. And people were looking for ways to cast off their flesh and to be free, to be spiritual people who were free from their flesh. And so the idea that a God would come down and take on flesh is crazy talk. But this is what God does. He comes down into this manger, taking upon this weak form to be in the presence of his people. See, because this is another thing that John says, it's pretty scandalous. He says that Jesus came and when he took on flesh, he made his dwelling among us. And this is an image of the temple of God in the Old Testament, or the tabernacle of God in the Old Testament. In Exodus, after the people have been freed from Egypt, God gives them instructions for this building campaign to make this tent of meeting. And in the middle of this tent of meeting is a holy place filled with altars and other objects for the worship of God. And we're told in Exodus that when the tabernacle was completed, the glory of God descended into the middle of that tent where he dwelled among his people. And so John is saying to his readers that Jesus is the embodiment of God's glory. Come again to dwell among his people. But Jesus is different than what the people experienced in the Old Testament, because Jesus, embodying the glory of God, dwelling among his people, is with his people. There's no barrier in a tent keeping the people away. Jesus is among them, eating with them, touching them, interacting with them, doing all sorts of things to represent God in the midst of his people. God's glory is present in Jesus through humility and love and sacrifice. For Jesus to come to earth, he had to abandon the glory and the majesty and the splendor of heaven, to leave behind, at least in some essence, the presence of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit, to be this infant, this weak and tender infant, born into earthly flesh in a dirty animal pen, through childbirth that is painful and messy, to be among us because he loves us. Jesus is God incarnate, and he is more than a little baby we reflect on today. He is the Son of God, the Savior who has come into the world to share God's love for us, to serve us, and to invite us into a journey of following him. Jesus understands the world he's entering into when he chooses to come down like this, because he helped create this world, and he understands the darkness that is around him in this world. Jesus saw that darkness win in the Garden of Eden as it took over and cast sin into the picture with Adam and Eve, breaking their relationship with God. Jesus saw the darkness on display as people began to murder each other. Jesus saw evil and Satan on display as the kingdom was turned upside down and people went to worship other gods. Jesus knew what he was getting into, but Jesus comes into the world as the light of life for all people. And Jesus entered into the world as this light, and darkness pursued him from the beginning. Herod, in his early days, tried to snuff out the baby and ended up committing infanticide in Bethlehem as he was trying to get rid of this new king. The darkness was around Jesus, causing him to have to go to Egypt with his family to escape. The darkness pursued Jesus, even in the text we read yesterday, after Jesus preaches in Nazareth, the people bring him to a cliff and they're going to throw rocks at him and push him off to kill him. And the darkness is attempting to get him even there, but it can't. And the Gospels tell us of other points where the darkness is pursuing the light of the world, and the light keeps moving until finally the light willingly gives himself up, where he allows his hands and his feet to be pierced on that cross hung there, where he allows his head to be punished through a crown of thorns, where he allows himself to be the sacrifice for humanity. And in that moment on that cross at mid-afternoon, as he died, darkness thought it won. Darkness took over the world, and the Gospels record this thick darkness, this kind of suffering darkness, as the light went out and evil thought it had triumphed. But we know that 3 days later, the light of the world came back into the world as it came forth out of the darkness of the tomb to proclaim new life. Jesus emerged from that darkness to prove once and for all who he was and who he is and who he evermore shall be. John, in chapter 1, verse 12, says this. He says, "All who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." The Son of God comes into the world as a child so that you and I have the opportunity to be children of God ourselves. The Son of God comes into the world full of love and hope, bringing that to us so that we can be filled with the love and hope of knowing God the Father. Jesus enters into our mess and our suffering and our pain to provide us with love and joy and peace, giving us this new identity as children of God. And so today we gather, we light the Christ candle, we sing and we worship this King of Kings who has come into the world. And as we go from here today, it will be easy for us to get lost in the moment of Christmas. As we open gifts, as we eat food, as we do things, we may even be tempted to just reflect on the baby. But I want to encourage you today to think about the fact that this is the Son of God, the incarnate Son of God who has come into the world for you. That this is a sign to you of his deep and profound love for you and your life and your future. And this morning, I just want to say too that if you don't know this love that Jesus brings into the world, find me after the worship service and let's talk, because this is the love, this is the hope that we hold on to as believers, that Jesus has come for us. There is no greater joy than knowing Jesus and what he has done to make us his children. So let's run to Jesus today and embrace the God who loves us. Let's pray.